Genesis, Chapter 60. Suggestions for Quarterly Review. 1. Give a brief Bible description of the character of Abraham. 2. What was the foundation of Abraham's righteousness? 3. Tell how Abraham's faith was tested. 4. What made this such a test of his faith? 5. How did Jacob come to leave his father's house? 6. Relate the dream which he had while on his journey. 7. What vow did he make? 8. Give proof that it is right for us to make such vows. 9. Where is this narrative recorded? 10. Relate the circumstances of Jacob's wrestling with the angel. 11. Who was the angel? 12. What was the cause of Jacob's importunity, and what did he receive? 13. For what purpose was this narrative recorded? 14. What led to Joseph's being sold into Egypt? 15. How did he suffer there, and what for? 16. What subsequent position did he occupy? 17. What was the real cause of Joseph's prosperity? 18. Show how God overruled the purposes of wicked men for good. 19. How did the Israelites come to settle in the land of Egypt? 20. After they became very numerous, what was done to them? 21. Tell how Moses was fitted for the work of delivering the people. 22. Relate the circumstances of his call to return to Egypt to deliver Israel. 23. What was God's special object in delivering his people? Notes. Faith was the foundation of Abraham's righteousness, as indeed it is of all righteousness. The apostle tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 verse 6. But we know that God is pleased with righteousness, and with those who are righteous. Therefore, without faith it is impossible to be righteous. And this is just what the Savior meant when he said, He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. But these words of our Savior suggest another thought, namely, that being merely justified for past transgressions is not enough. The man who is justified must, if he would retain his justification, abide in Christ by a living faith. This is aptly stated elsewhere by the same apostle who recorded the words of our Savior just quoted. He says, He that says he abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. There must be a growth, a development. The Christian must bring forth fruit. Paul tells us what some of these fruits are, and we are assured that he that lacks these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. The professed Christian who is not giving all diligence to add to his faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity, may well doubt the genuineness of his faith. Bible faith is not simply a passive belief of the declarations and promises of God, but it is an active, living principle which permeates the whole being, rules the life, and incites its possessor to action. We know that Abraham's faith was of this character, for the Lord himself said to Isaac, Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And the Apostle James says, Faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. In proof of this proposition, the apostle cites the case of Abraham, thus, Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Do you see how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? The apostle does not teach that works can by any means take the place of faith, but that real faith will work. Abraham obeyed God because he had faith, and in the very act of obedience his faith was strengthened. This is well explained by these words of the Apostle John. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. It is thus that, by works was faith made perfect, in the case of the Father of the faithful. And it is thus that faith must be perfected in each one of our cases. Faith is implicit trust in, or confidence towards, God. But if our hearts condemn us, as they certainly will if we are living in sin, we cannot have this confidence, and consequently no true faith, but like the devils, we also will believe only to tremble. E.J. Wagoner.